Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The guys on The Big Show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet.
Well, it's The Big Show.
It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove. Purchase your 2020 season passes at GreatLakesDragaway.com.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 414-799-1250. If you want to join the conversation here, as we remember the great Kobe Bryant, also some other news of the day. Everybody's favorite, Shelby Miller, back with the Milwaukee Brewers on a minor league contract. And also, Woo-hoo! Kobe King will not make the trip to Iowa as the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team goes to take on the Hawkeyes, citing, Sparky, some disapproval with how the program is moving.
It's according to sources that... in online. I have no idea.
Maybe so now he get to decide how he want the program to move.
And Badgers themselves haven't said anything about it. So they haven't commented one way or the other.
Where you get about the program moving, Steve? Where'd that come from?
I believe that was the guy for the Journal, I believe, had that.
So he get to decide how the program moving now. He big league like that.
Well, he can transfer. I mean,
you see what I'm saying, Billy?
Ain't nobody keeping him here.
You decide how the program moves.
No, and I love your frustration with it because
he's averaging 10 points a game. Let's not act like he's doing anything.
Again, and
that's the thing. That's what I'm talking about.
And he was supposed to be way better than he has
been.
That's
my whole point, mm-hmm. Steve.
And once you decide that you're bigger than the program, that's when it's time for you usually to go.
But here's the problem.
Coach ain't going nowhere.
What happens if he transfers, goes somewhere, and then lights it up and didn't do squat here? Then what?
Well, most times that don't happen, Steve. Seriously, done. And most times...
For all the Joe Burrow situations, right, usually they're not Joe Burrow.
And especially in college basketball, for sure, it doesn't happen. And in college football, it seems to happen a lot
Badgers
more.
Badgers had who? Oakie? Sam Oakie? Didn't he transfer and end up at Iowa and then go on to play?
I think he stayed there, didn't he? I don't think he
Sam
moved.
Oakie?
Look it up. I think he stayed there. Sam Oakie wasn't going to go nowhere.
Yeah.
But we had the boy that left... Northwestern that came to us played real well from Kenosha. St. Joe's, what was his name, Steve? Forget his name.
Yep, he transferred to Iowa. Sam Oakie surfaced at his new school Monday, still wearing a Wisconsin jacket, but happy to be at Iowa.
He went there for 1 year?
Big Ten Freshman of the Year 2 seasons ago, quit the Wisconsin basketball team.
Okay.
Yep, and it was because he was mad at Dick Bennett.
Did he sit out a year?
Oakie left the Badgers after Coach Dick Bennett told him that he would be benched for missing a mandatory weightlifting session. Mother Amy Oakie had said at the time her son probably would stay at Wisconsin for a school year, then perhaps transfer to another school. That changed when Oakie talked with Iowa coaches. He said he felt comfortable with the program, which recruited him out of high school in Cassville, Wisconsin, located on the Wisconsin-Iowa border near Dubuque.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he went there. He also talked to Kansas, North Carolina, and South Florida, and chose Iowa over Kansas or North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Don't Marquette got some boys transferred too?
Who?
Marquette, didn't they get some boys?
Well, they lost always the Hauser
got
guys
boys. The Hausers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where did they go?
Michigan State and Virginia.
Oh, they went separate places?
Mm-hmm.
Are they eligible this year or not? They're not eligible
next
this year.
Not this year. Next year, that'll be. But in that same vein, that was a coaching conversation that gets frustrated because of a different player on the team.
Well, no. See, like, when you go to Wisconsin, you know why you're going, especially basketball, right? You see the program because it ain't going
to
change.
You're going to graduate.
You're going... Or maybe redshirt for 5 years. You know that's what's going to happen. If you are an offensive lineman, you're going to redshirt your first year.
Mm-hmm. That's the deal.
That's the deal, for sure. Now, if you're a skill position player, like a running back or wide receiver, you'll probably get a chance to play. But O-line and D-line, you are redshirting. QBs, you are redshirting.
Yeah, and with the highest recruit right. at that position, wide they had, receivers, got the same fate.
That's how crazy this is. Wide receivers, DBs, and running backs. They don't redshirt them.
No. You're going to come in here and play. I was having a conversation, funny you brought that up, with a guy that coached over at Waukesha North.
Not saying the majority of them, they don't redshirt. 100%.
Like, they 100%.
Do some, but I'm not, that ain't a blank statement.
And their wide receiver, Shimmeray DK, is going to go to Wisconsin next year, and he was a track star, wide mm-hmm. receiver, safety, or whatever. And just asking, you guys think that he's got a chance to play right away? And it was, we'll see, but... Historically, Wisconsin has played those dudes early. They've also lost a couple of dudes as well.
Those dudes play early, and that's just the way it goes. I mean, Wisconsin's just one of those kind of programs. I mean, I'm good with the program's at. I think it's, headed in the right direction. I went to the Rose Bowl. I hate that they lost. My only problem is when you go to these games, Rose Bowl, you got to win them, cuz. I think they lost four in a row.
Yeah, four in a row.
Can't do that.
That's tough.
That's tough.
That is very, very
Grand
tough. 100% that's tough.
And Jonathan Taylor, I'm happy that he chose to play in that game. Did you see the thing on the Tribune?
The Players Tribune?
Yeah, from him.
Was it just recently?
Yeah,
I haven't seen it since.
Yeah, I think it was like Friday.
Off.
Maybe I was looking at it in the car or in a flight. I think it was. What a great article.
He's a tremendous example.
Is he a tremendous example? For all young kids out there, or for all, because he's first round draft pick now, and he talks about like how most people thought he wasn't gonna play in that game.
Sure.
And he goes, "It's the granddaddy of them all." Now, had it not been the granddaddy of them all, I don't know if he would have played.
100%.
That game,
it's so meaningful. That's right. Why we had that conversation all the time.
It's the next best one.
Yes, and also that's a game that, despite if it means something for a championship. If you played that type of college football, you've watched that game since you were four years old. And probably dreamed of being there one day and having that opportunity for that to be your last memory in college football. There's no better way to go
the
out.
The venue, Billy. Have you ever been to Rose Bowl?
Never been.
Billy. Steve, you ever been to Rose Bowl?
No.
The venue itself is just unbelievable.
Never been there
you ever been there? I know you never been there because you played in SEC or ACC or non-independent. Wherever
y'all Midwest.
Midwest. Midwest and West. That venue is just, it's the best there is in college football. Best there is.
I wish that they would have Super Bowls there again, but they won't now because there's no luxury boxes around it.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, because they don't have enough suites.
Oh, they want to make money.
It's a corporate event.
Yeah,
it is a corporate event.
What
Super Bowl is a corporate event, bro. When I went, Leroy and I went to the Super Bowl when the Packers played in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
High heels, minks, furs,
yep.
bruh. That's all I was walking in there.
Yep, walking around the complex trying to scalp tickets. It was like walking to a Grammy show. You had no idea what it was.
It just felt like it wasn't the same people I saw at Lambeau.
100%.
It was completely different.
Could not agree more.
Were you there?
We were there. We didn't end up getting in because high-priced folks got us bounced out of there. But it was just a tremendous atmosphere.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
All right.
But you guys going down there now this week.
So,
And this is going to be something different down in South Beach.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just happy and fortunate enough to go down there and just, and help celebrate it with Leroy and his family and that. And, once again, it's like, not like the Rose Bowl. It's kind of one of these once-in-a-lifetime events now.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't happen, hopefully, Roy, keep going. We can knock the door on down. But it's one of those kind of things that you see on TV, you see how they do it, and you actually know a guy. That's
about to have that happen.
Right?
Incredible.
I mean, you grow up watching this as a kid. And, Leroy, let me ask you this question real quick. When did you know or think that you could possibly be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
All decade.
After all decade?
Yeah, because that's when the AP guys, like when I made my fourth All-Pro, which the Pro Bowl to me wasn't that big of a deal once you make it once. But All-Pro, they were like, you're the top vote getter at safety. You're the top. I said, okay. Then Lee Rimmel start hanging out around my locker, and I used to like go in this little area and look at him looking for me. That's something you would do.
100%
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like standing by the vending machine, and he's looking for me. I was like, I don't know what he's, but it was just funny. And he said that Coach wants to see you. And normally it would be something I said in the media or something, which it was never my fault.
Mm-hmm. It was always
Tom's
fault.
I want blitz more type stuff, you know. So I said, uh-oh. Because that's the second time he was looking for me. Coach wanted to see me in his office.
So you thought Bob McGinn threw you under the bus?
Nah, it wouldn't be him. But that Tom Silverstein, yeah, it probably would have been him. He said, you were all a bowl getter. You was a top bowl getter, and you were all decade. And it was hard to believe. Because Reggie was in Carolina, and Brett, and I think it was Elway made it. I don't think Brett even made it. So I was like the only one that made it from the Packers. But it was just like, okay, you may have an opportunity to be with one of the great. But still, by Reggie being there and Brett being there, Ron Wolf, they just overshadow you.
Mm-hmm.
You just never even get a chance. That's why I knew I had a possibility.
It's going to be an amazing weekend down there. And you know, obviously, we are wishing you all the best and everybody, too, tomorrow, Wednesday as well. Phone lines are also open for you guys to wish good luck to Leroy Butler and share maybe a memory as well with him. As, I mean, we get to be around it all day long. You're right, Gary. It's like you finally know a dude that's going to have that situation for it. It's incredible to think of. 414-799-1250. Guys, it's a new year at Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. Just talking to Austin Della. It is your time. The time is now for you to get into the vehicle that you've always dreamed of.
The time is now. I like that.
It is time, as my man Kevin Green used to say.
You know some people contemplating.
No, 100%, right?
Yeah.
And the weather's not great outside. The only thing to bring a smile to your face is driving up to I-43 North at Silver Spring Drive, blocks away from the Bayshore Town Center, and stopping into Mercedes-Benz Milwaukee North and grabbing one of those tags in the door of a certified pre-owned vehicle that's for sale right now today, guys. The Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned sales event going on right now today. You get 2 months payment credit up to $1,500 on new certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz vehicles, plus 1.99% financing on all certified pre-owned Mercedes when you finance through Mercedes-Benz. If it's 2019 GLA classes you want, up to $500 payment credit. Any other 2019, receive $700 payment credit when you lease or finance through Mercedes-Benz today, and you can get right now onto their new 2020 inventory list with a huge selection of new and certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz vehicles. Check it out today at MercedesOfMilwaukeeNorth.com. Once you find out which one you want to see, which one you want to test out, and believe that it's the Mercedes-Benz that fits you the best, go talk to Austin Della. He's the sales manager. Tell him the Big Show sent you. He will take great care of you and kick off 2020 in the Mercedes-Benz that fits you at Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North here in Milwaukee and on 105.7 FM, The Fan. We'll hear from Del Harris joined us earlier. We'll bring that conversation back to you in about 15 minutes. Your calls and your memories of Kobe Bryant, the late, great 41-year-old, lost yesterday in a tragic plane helicopter accident in California. It's the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Right back. Oh!
One of the great calls by Kevin Harlan in just a historic career.
Yeah, he's the man.
20 years, 18 All-Star games, 5 NBA titles for Kobe Bryant as he passes away yesterday at the age of just 41 in a tragic helicopter accident that also claimed the lives of 8 others, one being his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna. Let's go out to the phone lines at 414-799-1250. Scott's in Germantown with Kobe's story. He's up on the Fan. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Love the show.
Thanks.
Thank you, Scott.
First time I ever called in. I never knew Kobe as an adult, but I got a chance to know him pretty good when he was a younger kid. His dad, Joe, played in Reggio with my brother-in-law, who played there at the same time.
Okay.
And my nephew, Ryan, same age as Kobe. And I used to drive those kids to basketball practice. I would go over to Italy for about 3 months out of the year during the season. And our families got together and, you know, played with them when they were playing basketball. My brother-in-law lived in this complex called Serpentone, which was kind of a high-end complex. And, you know, the Italian kids, you handed them a basketball, they'd kick it around like it was a soccer ball.
Sure.
Kobe, he, you know, always wanted to be playing ball. And same thing with my nephew. And so I got some organization with the kids in the complex and got them going. It took about 2 or 3 weeks, but they finally caught on to the rules and stuff like that. And so it was fun. It was good memories. Obviously didn't know Kobe was going to be what he turned out to be. And I have a 21-year-old son and a 19-year-old son, both really good athletes, three-sport kids. And when I would drive them to basketball practice when they were the same age, I'd tell them, hey, I used to drive Kobe Bryant to basketball practice.
And they didn't believe you, probably, did they?
Oh, they knew. They knew because of my brother-in-law and my sister and stuff like that. But, yeah, they knew that. And but it was neat, and it was something that, you know, like I said, I would have never known it would have, you know, turned into that type of situation. And Kobe at the time, he wasn't a big kid. My brother-in-law is 6'11", so his son was pretty good size. And Kobe was just a small, quick kid, but loved shooting hoops.
Appreciate the story, Scott. That's incredible. 414-799-1250. Just that alone, that type of dedication, that type of work ethic, when you weren't the biggest, you weren't the fastest, weren't the strongest, but being the hardest worker is ultimately what it always comes down to. And I know when we talked to Larry Harris, who's around Steph Curry all the time, that was the story that you'd always hear about Steph and Seth going and shooting hoops while, you know, their dad was coaching, their dad was in the middle of a meeting, they were getting their 500 shots up when they were 7 or 8 years old, barely even able to hold the men's size ball. But just the dedication and the want to get better and the want to continually improve, just something that the greats seem to always have. It's one of the reasons why they turn into be the greats.
That's right.
No, and you're right, Billy. You know, and I think about this, you know, because I think about sometimes being, you know, former player, but, you know, you think about, like, some of the gifts that, like, that you're blessed with, you know, and a lot of guys, not everybody can be Kobe, you know, mm-hmm. not everybody can be Michael Jordan, you know, not everybody can be that. And so we sit and talk about guys like Kobe and Michael Jordan and that, and sometimes you take a lot of that stuff for granted, right? And, you know, and here we sit right now, and we're sitting with one of the 15 best guys in the NFL in our studio right now today. But maybe because we see him every day, and maybe because the folks in the state of Wisconsin see him every day, that they may kind of take it for granted that you don't understand how special those people really are. And sometimes maybe those people don't know how special they really, really are.
True.
Because they know not what they're doing. They just do it.
Never known any better.
They are just blessed.
That's true.
At the gift that God gave them. Most certainly you have to enhance the skills that you have. And a lot of people do have a God-given talent. And, like, you know, everybody has something different in life that they can do. Like my uncle. I have an uncle who can just fix things. He never went to a trade school.
Shade tree.
He never had no engineering. He never went to... My aunt that just passed away, this was a funny joke. He's been living in his house for 45 years.
Mm.
Do you know he still has the same washer and dryer in his house from 45 years ago?
Claude Hammers.
Gosh.
Ask me why.
Why?
Because he knows how to fix it.
Always.
Yep. Right.
He fixes it. Fix
get
it.
The parts.
Everybody,
fix
it. If you want your car fixed, take it over to Joseph's house. He'll fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all have some of these gifts that we don't know that we have. And some people are fortunate enough to, like, you know, Kobe had then not most certainly had a gift for basketball, but he also had another gift, like, how great I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can be then. But you never know what happens in certain people's lives, how then they get consumed with how great they want to be, where it becomes the end all be all to them.
And
it becomes an addiction. I just don't know, though, Leroy, in the game of football, who that guy would be like Kobe, ever. Do you?
No.
Maybe Walter Payton? Running them heels back in the day?
Jerry Rice.
I see. Yeah, Jerry Rice.
Maybe
still
Jerry
running
Rice.
Those hills.
Yeah, that's another one.
Jerry Rice would have to do three times what he did to be like Kobe. Because it's a mental capacity to it. I mean, when he walked in the room, he knew he was the best in the room. Even if he wasn't, he felt that way. And the next thing he wanted to do was make everybody else great. But you got to do it on his watch.
Sure.
And that's why you would see hear things about Michael fighting guys and his teammates. Hey, man, let's it's going to be like a game. It's not going to be like the Pro Bowl. Nah. It's one of, when you say ones against ones, it's like a real game to certain people.
Some like it people, was to Sean Taylor.
Yeah, hey, man, listen.
Brian Norman felt that out.
Did I miss that the Packers got rid of the defensive back coach? Did I miss that?
Jason Simmons? It appears that they're interviewing
I believe his deal was done and he was going to the Chargers.
Yeah, but see, he was. I thought he was going to the guy in Carolina.
Maybe he's going to Carolina. Yeah, whatever. But I believe his contract was up.
Not the transition, but you remember I told you about they're going to keep Pettit?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
These assistants, someone's going to be gone.
They interviewed Jerry Gray today. Yeah, and that,
Jerry Gray. And, you remember Jerry Gray?
Yeah. And that thing they did the other guy.
Jerry Gray. Yeah.
Odin or something.
Yeah.
What did they just get us? Smooth that by.
Well, they put it right
well,
in the
rug. Well, it's COVID news. You probably
the COVID
catch.
Probably got.
Well, that happened over the weekend, though. The whole
it don't matter.
No, but it just didn't get no legs. Could get any traction.
Because the defensive backs, I don't know if people's listening. But I say, somebody's they keep gonna, headed. Somebody's going to be the fall guy. Whether they leave or don't sign up back or something, they're not going to bring that same staff back. Because the
he went to the Panthers. Panthers hired him. Jason Simmons hired by the
Panthers. So he's gone.
Yep.
You want to talk about sweeping some news under the rug?
Yeah.
Just in that town in Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
If anybody didn't know, the Los Angeles Chargers told Phillip Rivers.
I saw that. Bye-bye.
We're good.
But you know what that means? They're making a run for Tom Brady.
Yeah. No. Teddy Bridgewater's not going to do what they need.
Mm-mm.
No.
With the new stadium?
Yeah. It's either
they're gonna make a run for Brady. Don't kid yourself. Brady's got to figure out where he wants to go back.
Yeah,
there,
it's gonna either be for me. It's either Tom or Cam. One of those two is the only guys that they can really bring in to try to electrify that fan base.
Phillip Rivers has to find out who's the closest to go to the play that's in the playoffs that needs a quarterback. The Carolinas.
Well, he's already rumored to Tampa Bay, Leroy.
100%.
I don't know why he would go to Tampa Bay.
No. But in that system, though, they need a quarterback. James
Winston. He's going to throw it all over the place.
James Winston's the perfect guy for Tampa. They just got to figure where he's at.
Oh, okay.
They should just.
Well, Leroy, he threw like 50 interceptions, cuz.
The first guy to ever go 30 yards.
He's got Bruce Arians, man. That's a pretty good quarterback.
They throw the ball every down.
How about this? James Winston did the same thing Leroy Butler did.
Uh-oh.
Except the opposite.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I didn't even get no crab legs.
No.
Didn't stand on top of no table either, yelling and screaming.
No, he did the same thing, cuz. This joker, he go 30-30. Leroy go 20-20.
20-20,
I got a different 20-20. That's different.
Made baseball numbers, football numbers.
Yeah. Leroy would have loved playing against Jameis Winston.
Oh, he would have loved playing.
I'd be in already.
Yeah.
That 28 would have been 58.
Yeah. It's going to be a very long offseason for a lot of teams. Because somebody's going to get Phil Rivers. I mean, what if him and Drew Brees swapped and he go back to where he's been?
Oh, no, they've already said in New Orleans that a guy in New Orleans is the heir apparent to Drew Brees.
Who?
Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
Stop. Turn his mic off.
He's 30 years old.
That man can't play no quarterback,
they're talking about
man.
That. He's their next guy after Drew
he
Brees.
He can't play quarterback.
And Drew's talking about retiring.
And
That's just to get more money.
Taysom Hill's a free agent.
Listen.
He's Jason a free
Hill
agent.
Is not a quarterback, y'all. Stop.
I'm just telling you.
If he was a quarterback, you wouldn't even hear Bridgewater, okay? When Drew Brees went out for four games, they had a chance to make him quarterback, didn't touch it.
No, and didn't stop playing
got a
him
real
as
quarterback
a tight end and linebacker.
But I want – hey, get paid, though. If somebody
no,
gonna
I'm
make
all
you
about
franchise,
getting paid, Roy.
How can you go from the record setter in Drew Brees to Taysom Hill? Stop it. Okay, if you're not going to bring Bridgewater
different.
In for the next 3 years and try to go for it again.
Well, they don't want to pay Bridgewater.
Well, they need to pay
you
Drew
You change
Brees.
Your offense. You're going to play it like Baltimore does then, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Taysom
you
Hill?
Have to.
You are. You're going to play
Drew
it like
Brees
they do Lamar Jackson.
$5 million a year
do
for
what
3 years.
Did with, what's the boy name, Leroy, went to Florida? That was bad at Florida. What's your boy
Tebow?
Name?
Tebow.
Yeah, that's him.
Who, Taysom Hill?
Yeah.
He's got a stronger arm than Tebow, I think.
That's the same guy.
Tebow was way more accurate than him, man.
We're going to find out. Same guy.
Tebow was a quarterback, though. Taysom Hill is a switch arm and knife.
You know who I want to hear from?
Who?
I want to hear from Dale.
Dale Harris? 100%. Mm-hmm. And right before that, guys.
That's platinum.
It's coming right back at you in about 2.5 minutes.
It was
but
so
first,
nice
can I just say something
real
quick?
Yeah, for sure.
By Dale, though.
Baseball.
And I'm just saying this, so and I haven't. Have we ever had Dale on, Steve, that I remember?
Yeah, we have.
When was the last time?
Probably like 10 years ago.
Right, so it's been a long time.
Been a long time.
And I just didn't realize. I mean, listen, come on, Bucks people. And just keeping it 100. If you guys are doing something history or any kind of throwback.
Bring them back tight.
Surrounding the Milwaukee Bucks.
He should be here.
Dale Harris should be included.
Just be invited.
In what you guys are doing. Bring him and his family back to the game. They put that family has done a lot for Milwaukee.
They were in that organization for 30, 40 years.
For a lot. For Milwaukee.
Larry's like our guy.
Right. I mean, the whole family. Now, it's just, and I know everybody want to put their own stamp on stuff. You want to get in, you want to make it yours and all that. But I just still think when you're, that's the one thing and I don't want to get on my boat here and start talking about the Packers.
I really do.
That's one thing I like about the Green Bay Packers. They bring back just about everybody. I mean, last time I was there, Leroy, you know they had Alfonso Carriker.
Oh, I liked him.
Was the honorary captain last year? Yes.
Yeah, liked him.
He was the honorary captain. Fonzo hadn't been, would you call him Chubb?
Chubb.
Hadn't been back to Lambeau since he left.
Right.
And they brought him back, honorary captain.
Tony Fisher.
Him and his whole family.
Is it him and Kathy DeWar?
Tony Fisher, that's my guy.
That's why I loved Tony. Yeah. Tony Fisher is just truly a man.
Right.
Third down back. Here's
why I say that. Chubb did not play under anybody that's in their office right now. Chubb don't know Fisher.
No.
He don't know Kathy DeVore. He don't know.
He don't know
Matt LaFleur.
They weren't even born when he was.
Right. For real. We didn't even have sweets then.
But it was just the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do. Bring Dale back.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his family. They meant a lot to Milwaukee.
No, 100%. It's the somewhat disconnect every once in a while, but also the right thing for you to do. The right thing for you to do is go grab some Beauforting, a premium quality beer.
Bring it in, Bill.
Due to its superior ingredients. Only 100% natural barley, freshest hops, and the freshest spring water. That is a beer that should be enjoyed for a team that's on a pace to win 70 games. That's right, 250 years, guys, of family-owned brewing experience. They've been doing it since 1764 in the country of Luxembourg, and they have done it. They have achieved the pinnacle of drinkability and smoothness with all the beers in their lineup, the crisp Pilsner, the smooth triple, and the perfectly balanced Brune at 7.2. They all give you a full flavor that does not fill you up. And they're not owned by a gigantic corporation. They're not made in big mass quantities. Beauforting is good. You know what I mean? You need to put a piece of fruit in it to make it taste good. It's made in small batches with a personal family touch, which is why in six packs is where you find it at Total Wine & More, Brookfield and Greenfield, Ray's Wine & Spirits, Festival Foods on tap at Cafe Hollander, The Nomad, or Revere's in Delafield. But this week, this Friday, at Metcalf's in Tosa, it's your place to get the Beauforting for the big game that you need. Friday from 3 to 6 with special tasting and deals on Beauforting so low I can't even say them on the radio. Tweet me a picture of your Beauforting at Bill Schmidt Radio, and let's drink in the boff this season with Milwaukee's favorite smooth drinking import. Del Harris next on the Wendy's Big Show. Harris joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. This is the Wendy's Big Show. Former NBA head coach of your Milwaukee Bucks, and also coach of the Los Angeles Lakers in the early part of Kobe Bryant's career. Del, really appreciate the time today for the fan.
Certainly. Thanks for calling.
It obviously a trying day. What was your first reaction yesterday?
Well, you know, my first was because it was just unconfirmed and so forth. I got a call very early on, and so I was just hoping that it really, you know, wasn't the case, or so on and so forth. And anyway, as information trickled in, it was bad, but it got worse once you heard that his daughter Gianna was on board as well, along with, you know, other people. That nine altogether. It just went from five to nine, and you know, his just a very incredible thing. The two youngest players I coached in all my years in the NBA, whether as head coach or assistant coach, were Kobe and Moses. And both of them died now well before their time, you would think, would have come about.
Coach, talk about that whole process when you and Jerry West decided to make that move to get Kobe on draft day. Obviously, you coached his dad as well, so you knew the family from the jump start.
Yes, in fact, people have been asking me what was my first impression, when I first saw Kobe, assuming that it was after we had drafted him, but the first time I saw Kobe, he was 4 years old. And so my first impression was that he was cute. And then, of course, we brought him in for a tryout, look-see before the draft. And he worked against Michael Cooper, who had been out for 3 or 4 years, but still, was had been a all defensive player. And Kobe, even at age 17 at the time, was very, very capable of getting a shot off against Michael. And anyway, it was a big price that we paid after having that workout, and that cost us a really fine player in person in Vlade Divac. But we, worked around talking to people and got an agreement from Charlotte that if they would take him in that 13th pick, provided he got there, we would, give them Vlade Divac. And so that's the way it turned out. And there was some talk back and forth, that got out and about in the public, true or not true, but that he didn't want to go to certain teams, that might have drafted him, such as the Nets, for example, at the time. But in any case, we were able to get him, and obviously it's quite a thing to have a player like that for 20 years there at the franchise.
Dale, and you talk about that, but what do you think, because I just saw just a overwhelming sentiment towards him from younger players last night that probably, I don't know if a lot of these guys knew him, but it just felt like it took a huge toll on the NBA last night. I almost felt like the NBA should have canceled the games last night because everybody was just kind of upset. What has Kobe meant to the NBA? I mean, did we know it was his legacy, or what he meant to the NBA was bigger than what it is, or what we saw yesterday from all these younger players?
Well, for good or for bad, I think that his legacy as a 17-year-old and 18, actually, by the time he got in the game, but was such due to his hard work, his focus, his intensity, his competitiveness, is something that helped drive this one and done that we've had, since, so many kids have picked up that workout and process that he did, and have developed the ball skills and overall skills that have enabled so many to, while they don't skip anymore, they do, 1 year later, they're coming in. And he and Garnett, came out about the same time, and that was well after Moses and Bill Willoughby and Daryl Dawkins, but it didn't catch on with those guys. But with Kobe, Garnett, they were so stunning right out of high school, and they were vocal, and I think it had a lot to do with the just the increasing the abilities of young players.
Talking with Del Harris, former Milwaukee Bucks head coach, also the first head coach that Kobe Bryant had in his NBA career, here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Coach, by the way, we appreciate your time, your respect and everything. One of the things for me, being a lifelong Laker fan growing up, the one thing I thought about that made me feel at peace is what him and Shaq did. They eventually squashed all the beefs. They sat down, they had a conversation, they put everything behind them. I think that was one of the best things that I went back to look at.
Yeah, that shows maturity, and you could see the maturity in Kobe as he progressed. His focus in the first 8 or 10 years was really to be the best he could do to every day and to win every game, and you better get on board with me, if you're a teammate,
right?
Because I'm not taking any thing less than 100% I'm given. Let's go. And I think his last several years he mellowed out and certainly has become a much more sociable, passionate, and others oriented person the older that he got, and certainly after his retirement. But relative to that breakup between those two, I have said many times that it's my opinion, no one will ever know, but that if they had found a way to stay together, that they would have won 6 or 7 of them together.
Mm-hmm.
He got 5 anyway, and Shaq got 4 or 5, I forget now, but they did win some apart, but they could have won them together.
Coach, when you had Kobe early on in his career, and obviously he wasn't playing probably as much as he wanted to play those first couple of years. What was he like to deal with off the floor by not essentially getting his own way and being out there as much as he wanted?
He was perfect, and so was Joe. I mean, people wanted to think that Joe would interfere or this or that, simply because, we had a relationship. He'd played for me, and actually had his best pro year with me, which was his last year in the NBA, but then played a lot of years in Europe, which is why Kobe grew up a good bit of his youth in Italy. But no, Joe and Pam were good, and Kobe, he definitely wanted to play more. There's no question about that, and he competed hard every day to get that. But there were some things that worked against him, two or three things. Number one, what worked against him was at the 2 and 3 positions, and he wasn't physically up to NBA standards as a 3 when he came out. He was only about 175 pounds. He didn't come in with a man's body. He came in with a teenage body, unlike LeBron, who came in, with a 30-year-old body. and he's still 30. But on Kobe, he was light, and we had Cedric Ceballos and Eddie Jones, who were all-stars from the year before, in which we had won 53 games. Now, coming in, Kobe comes in at the same time with those guys as all-stars and Shaq coming on board at the same time. So this was not a do-over team. This was not a cellar dweller. This is a team that was young as it was, we were, fighting for a championship. And that year, we won 56 games that first year and 61 the next. And Shaq missed 31 games that first year and 22 the next. And we still won all those games. And the third thing that worked against Kobe was that his eagerness to play didn't allow him to
be patient enough to wait until preseason started just a few days before it started. He played in a pickup game on Venice Beach and broke a hand and didn't get preseason. He didn't get training camp. And he didn't get a play until the second game of the season, and it was for real. And he didn't play much, 3 or 4 minutes, and didn't score. And he played the next time, and he got his first point, which was a free throw. It was the third game before he got a basket. But as the year went on, he just got better and better through his hard work. And the last 22 games of the season, he averaged 10 points a game and 3 rebounds, 3 assists. He became an important part of the team in the rotation so that by the time the playoffs came, he was a big part of the team. And then the next year, he only started one game because, we brought in Robert Horry instead of Sabalos, and we brought in Rick Fox, who, was a real developed man. And both Horry and Fox were great defenders, along with Eddie Jones. And, Kobe was behind in the defensive area because of his youth and so forth. So anyway, but having said that, he averaged about 27 minutes a game. He was our third leading scorer at 15 points a game off the bench. And he made the All-Star team. He was so popular with the kids who elected the team that year at by picking up ballots at McDonald's. And he made runner-up Sixth Man of the Year. So he was a big-time player on that in that second year, and averaged over 15 a game. And then his third year, I was only there for the first dozen games, but he averaged 20 in that third year and started every game. So, and I want to tell you, that third year, he averaged 10 rebounds those 12 games I had him. 20 points and 10 rebounds.
That's incredible stuff. That's Dell Harris joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. If you missed any bit of that interview, it's at 105.7FMTheFan.com. Click on Fan On Demand. It's presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. Gary Ellerson with the Pfister Hotel.
Yeah, we're talking about good friends over at the Pfister Hotel. Listen, they've been around for guys literally 125 years. And so, I mean, they're our institution in Milwaukee. And sometimes we take the Pfister Hotel for granted, but you never should. And you should keep going there and keep visiting. And this is why I'm talking about it, guys. Experience the Midwest, Condé Nast Traveler's Reader's top choice, and experience the wonder of the Pfister at thepfisterhotel.com. But wait, I got one more, guys. Right next door to the Pfister, the award-winning Mason Street Grill. A fantastic local joint with wood-fired dishes, delicious steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and live music. Literally some of the best steak you will ever have. Whether you want to enjoy the vibrant bar, bustling dining room, or elegant private spaces, experience the best of the area. Fresh cuisine, expert service, and unmatched atmosphere. Reserve your table today at MasonStreetGrill.com. Two fabulous places right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. The Pfister Hotel, Restaurant, Bar, and next door, folks, Mason Street Grill.
That's the Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. Our thanks to Dell Harris, former Milwaukee Bucks head coach, just legend in pro basketball. Coached Kobe Bryant for the first 3 years of his NBA career, as we remembered the life that was of the 41-year-old superstar. 20 years in the NBA, 18 All-Star games, 5-time world champion, and lost at the age of 41 in a tragic, horrific accident. Coming up tomorrow, or also thanks to Larry Harris, Dell's son, joined us as well, former Milwaukee Bucks GM, now assistant GM and director of player personnel for the Golden State Warriors. If you missed that and you want to hear Gary Ellerson and Dell and Larry Harris give each other some grief, that is a great time. Timestamped at about 4:05 on your radio.com app. Tomorrow, Bill Michaels catches up with Greg Jennings at noon. I can only imagine we're going to have a lot of that conversation here on the Wendy's Big Show.
I would assume so. And we'll talk about too much fun. Great Brewers on Deck event.
Mm-hmm.
And what is Ryan Braun doing? We're back tomorrow at 2. Keep it right here. It's The Fan.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.